Mary Morrissey describes the fifth gift as your constant companion. Bob Proctor calls it the greatest tool you've got. It is indeed a gift of astounding power and potential. But like all these gifts, whether the power produces positive or negative outcomes depends upon you. How well you understand it and how committed you are to focusing it towards your highest goals and purposes. Let's listen to what Bob and Mary have to say about this truly miraculous gift.
Do you believe that you could do a whole lot better if you just tried a little bit harder? I have spoken at many, many conventions over the past 40 years. And frequently I'll stand up in front of a few hundred or a few thousand people and I'll say, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe if you just tried a little bit harder, you could do a whole lot better? And then I'll raise my arm. Well, of course, almost everybody raises their arm, indicating, yes, they think they could. And then I read them this story. I'm sitting in a quiet room at the Millcroft Inn, a peaceful little place, hidden back among the pine trees about 1 hour out of Toronto. It's just past noon in late July, and I'm listening to the desperate sounds of a life-or-death struggle going on just a few feet away. Now, this is headed up a true story, and it was written by a man named Price Pritchett. So he says, there's a small fly burning out the last of its short life's energies in a futile attempt to fly through the glass of the windowpane. The whining wings tell the poignant story of the fly's strategy. Try harder, but it's not working. The frenzied effort offers no hope for survival. Ironically, the struggle is part of the trap. It's impossible for the fly to try hard enough to succeed at breaking through the glass. Nevertheless, this little insect has staked its life on reaching its goal through raw effort and determination. The fly is doomed. It will die there on the windowsill. Now, across the room, just 10 steps away, the door is open. 10 seconds of flying time, and this small creature could reach the outside world it seeks. With only a fraction of the effort now being wasted, it could be free of its self-imposed trap. The breakthrough possibility is there. It would be so easy. Why doesn't the fly try another approach, something dramatically different? How did it get so locked in on the idea that this particular route and determined effort offer the most promise for success? What logic is there in continuing until death to seek a breakthrough with more of the same? No doubt this approach makes sense to the fly. Regrettably, it's an idea that will kill. Trying harder isn't necessarily the solution to achieving more. It may not offer any real promise for getting what you want out of life. Sometimes, in fact, it's a big part of the problem. If you stake your hopes for a breakthrough on trying harder than ever, you may kill your chances for success. When all those people were holding up their hand, they were demonstrating two things. Either they weren't thinking, or they were involved in wrong reason. This particular lesson is about reason. But we want to get you involved in right reason. We want you to begin to think, because it's with your inductive reasoning factor that you think. That is the highest function that you're capable of. It's the greatest tool that you've got. Every great leader that has ever lived has been in complete and unanimous agreement that we become what we think about. Play with that for a little while. They've disagreed on virtually everything else. It's just sort of an accepted idea. Yeah, if I tried harder, I'll do better. Trying harder isn't going to make it better. Most of the time, it makes it worse. We've got to take a look at what we're doing. We've got to ask ourselves what we're doing. We've got to ask ourselves where we're going. We've really got to be thinking. I was recently interviewed for a magazine, Personal Growth. They put an article in the magazine. Now, at the end of the article, they do a bio spread on the person that's writing the article. They put a picture of me, and then they put some questions that they asked me. And the one question was, what are the 3 best books I've read? Now, I've got a few thousand books on my shelves in my library at home. The 3 books I chose were Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I said, that book made me think. As a Man Thinketh was the second one by James Allen. It was written back around the turn of the century, 1903, something like that. And that book causes me to monitor what I do think, pay attention to what I'm thinking. And then the little book that I'm just reading from by Price Pritchett, U Square. I want you to write down the website where you can go and order this because I think it's important enough that everybody get it. You can go to Pritchett, that's PritchettNet.com. PritchettNet.com, PritchettNet.com. And the book is U Square. That's you with a little two. It's like squaring the number four. Well, this is squaring your potential. I'm going to come back with another part of this book that has a lot to do with thinking before the end of this message. But right now, Mary, I would like you to share with the audience something you shared with me earlier on reason.
Absolutely. This came again out of Collier's work. And he says, if the principle that is life is so strong in its lowest forms of animal life, that it can develop a shell or a poison to meet a need, if it can teach the bird to circle and dart, to balance and fly, if it can actually grow a new limb on a spider to replace the lost one, how much more can it do for you, a reasoning, rational being with a mind able to work with life principle, with an energy and an initiative to urge it on? Now, your initiative is your dream. And when you learn to work in harmony, in concert with the laws of the universe, you don't have to try harder. You actually allow. You make welcome. You don't have to force and push. You allow. You make welcome. Just as if you're watching television and you watch one channel, you get tired of that channel. You get tired of that life. You're tired of a news program that's constantly negative news. You want to go to Discovery. You want to go to travel. You don't force that frequency to become something else. You simply tune to a new frequency. You set your tuner at the new vibration, and you make welcome the new program. I think it was Stephen Covey once who told a great story about a man, a salesman, who was trying to meet his third quarter goals. He had a big sales opportunity in Chicago. He flew to Chicago. He got off the plane. The plane was late, and he was so worried he was going to be late for his appointment, he rushed to the rental car agency, signed the contract, grabbed the keys, and said, oh, I need a map. Grabbed a map and rushed off, tried to get on the freeway, tried to find his way. He was struggling. He'd get off the freeway and take a look at the map. He was getting more and more flustered, knowing that if he missed this appointment, his whole third quarter, maybe his job, was going to fall through the cracks at this miss. And he was getting more and more upset about it. He said, okay, I got to take a deep breath here, and I have to get more focused. I got to try harder. I need to think more positive. And finally, after not being able for 30 minutes to find his way, he happened to glance at the map he was using, and he recognized that the map was not for Chicago. The map was for Detroit. That in his anxiety at rushing the clerk at the counter and said, I got to have a map, the clerk actually grabbed the wrong map. So he was trying to find his way in Chicago with a map of Detroit. No matter how positive, no matter how focused, no matter how hard he tried, he's not going to find his way with the wrong map. So when you and I are trying to bring about our dream, we're seeking to make it welcome, we're opening to it, we want to use our reasoning faculty to remember a couple of things, one of which is the information from our five senses is a representative of current state reality. And current state reality is a reflected reality. It is reflected from the states of mind that we have been thinking. So what's in your bank account, what other people think about you, what your history is, what you did or didn't do, all of that has a fact to it. But your destiny is not determined by your history without your permission. So yes, you have a reasoning faculty that can apply the current state, but you also want to use your reason to remember that you have intuition. And you have imagination, and you have a perfect memory, not only backwards, but forwards. And you can use your reason to take a look at the circumstance and recognize that you have more here than you're recognizing, that you're hooked to the internet of the universe's mind, that there's an answer for any question you've got, there's a solution for any problem that you are facing, and the answers will be right here according to your willingness to make them welcome by tuning into the vibration that makes them welcome. I recently had a problem with my computer. I tried to download a new program, and I couldn't seem to make it work. So late one night, I went to the computer store, There was a young woman working there, and as she was helping me, we began to have a conversation. She was one of my kids' age. She was 31 years old. Somehow the conversation came around, and she says, whispers kind of, and she goes, "Guess what? I just started a new business 6 months ago. I'm working here part-time now." I said, "Really? So what did you do?" And she says, "Well, I had a lot of people who told me in certain kinds of business, you have to have at least $25,000 to start a business. I had $250. And I decided that I was going to start the business with what I had and go to work on it." And she says, then she whispered, and she goes, "In the last 6 months, I've made $50,000, twice as much as I made in the 6 months before that." She went to work with what she had. She called on the faculties. She didn't know she was doing this as well. She intuitively, just energetically, began to tap into that part of her that had access to a mind that would tell her what to do in the instant she needed it. Now, you have that same kind of mind. So reason is to make sure you're working from the right map, that the map is I'm an infinite being. The map is I'm an eternal soul. The map is I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. The map is no matter what I need, the universe has got it, and the universe is right where I am.
Dr. Ken McFarland, a great educator from down in Kentucky years ago, said 2% of the people think, 3% think they think, and 95% would actually rather die than think. Henry Ford said thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the very reason why so few people engage in it. I remember Earl Nightingale, my old mentor and boss, he used to say if most people said what they were thinking, they would be speechless. Now, do you know, when you first hear that, you think, well, come on, everybody thinks. No, they really don't think. Most people are the plaything for what's going on around them. And it's true. They're living through their senses. What we have to understand, and understand very clearly, thinking and mental activity are two completely different things. Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich made me think. James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh, caused me to monitor what I think. U Square caused me to think right outside of the box, to think in new dimensions, to start and look at things from a totally different perspective. Now, I'm going to read you something, again, from Price Pritchett's book, because this is something we should think about. Most people operate with a mindset. That doesn't mean thinking. That means with a fixed way of looking at things. Most people operate with a mindset. We should almost hyphenate that, the same as we do with dis-ease. They operate with a mindset that assumes success comes one step at a time. The unspoken but popular notion is that we must move systematically from our present level of achievement to the next. Then the thinking goes, from that stage, we can begin working toward graduating to still the next higher level in the sequence. Gradual progress. Now, he said this is an unfortunate misconception, and it's clearly reflected in the way people function. They go about day to day striving to make incremental gains in their performance. Now, he said that's pretty routine. That's the pathway of conventional growth. I choose to believe that's not thinking. Where he said, then the thinking goes, well, it isn't the thinking. It's the paradigm being expressed. It's the fixed mindset. It's what we're doing. Now, he's suggesting that you square your potential. I don't even know what that means. If your potential is infinite, to square something, you multiply it by whatever it is, like you'd multiply 4 by 4 if you wanted to square 4, and you'd come up with 16. Well, what do you do when you want to square your own potential? The concept itself illustrates or encourages or suggests that we're shooting far below what we should be doing. Now, I'm going to share something else he said here, and I want you to really think about this. This will require thinking. And don't reject it right away, because that is an activity of the conscious mind, same as thinking is. Pritchett says, U square implies an explosive jump in your personal performance that puts you far beyond the next logical step. He said it's a formula for stunning advances in achievement and the realization of your dreams. The concept is one of exponential gains rather than incremental progress. You might compare it to multiplying instead of adding. It means a geometric progression in your effectiveness. Now, he points out that's exciting as well as provocative, but it gets even better. He said, remember, quantum leaps can come without apparent effort. These are high-velocity moves that carry you to dramatically higher levels of performance, levels without time-consuming struggle. See, you've got to start thinking of where would you be if you took an explosive jump? Are you using your future memory? Are you using your imagination? That's what he's suggesting. Really begin to think. This is called big thinking. Now, he says quantum leaps seem to violate common sense, utterly. The idea of moving to a higher orbit and skipping several rungs on the achievement ladder in the process strikes most people as far-fetched, maybe even outrageous. What these people are doing, they're rejecting an idea without thinking about it. When I was a little boy, I remember the first television set I saw. It was at the corner of our street, and it was in Knapman's radio window. Mr. Knapman fixed radios. He put a television set in the window of his store, and then he had the speakers outside. There was always a crowd of people around that window, and we were watching the television. Now, there was hardly ever anything on it. It was just all snow and shh, you know, the sound that you get. But every now and then, somebody would start to appear, and you'd hear somebody in the crowd say, here comes somebody, here comes somebody. And, of course, the image would come on the screen, and then it would fade away again. If someone had suggested, in our lifetime, you're going to be able to strap one of these to your wrist, it'll just be the size of an ordinary size watch, it will be in living color, and you'll be able to watch a football game going on maybe in Korea if you're in Kentucky, and you can see it simultaneous with them shooting it, and they fire the picture off a satellite out in space, and it bounces off the satellite right into the receiver in the television set that's strapped around your wrist. Most people would have said those people are out of their mind. But you see, thinking people knew that if you could see it, you can do it. And you can think. Now listen to this. The idea of moving to a higher level and skipping several rungs on the achievement ladder in the process strikes people as far-fetched, maybe even outrageous. However, after the fact, quantum leaps seem to be viewed as practical, sensible, even obvious moves, but they typically do not come to you as the obvious moves at the moment. Usually, it's in retrospect that you perceive their hidden logic and elegance. Invariably, quantum leaps are not complex or intricate maneuvers. They tend to be simple, energy-efficient, and time-saving. In reading this and studying this, and then mixing with people like Mary Morrissey, you are provoked into thinking because you will quit settling for things as they are. I have, in Life Success, consultants scattered all around the world that teach our material. Mary has consultants in her company. We have two separate companies, but she has consultants. Now, I want you to think, really think. If you're not happy at what you're doing, you think you'd like to do something like this, contact us, because this is the greatest industry in the world. It provokes you to think, and you must begin to think. Most people do not think. They really don't. They live quiet lives of desperation. What a terrible way to go through life. Do you know that when you think, you tap into an infinite power that's flowing into your consciousness? And your reasoning factor gives you the ability to take that power and formulate it into a little picture we call a thought. And then you think another thought, and then another, and then another. And then you start to bring them together, and that's what's called an idea. And an idea is nothing but a thought or a collection of thoughts directed towards a purpose. Now, what I want to suggest you do is sit down and put a big circle on the center of a piece of paper. And then, inside the circle, write the word, my big idea. Now realize that all around that big idea are little thoughts that'll form that big idea. What is your big idea? Start thinking. Start where you are. Start building little pictures and put them with other pictures. What are you capable of doing? Do you know that when Andrew Carnegie suggested to Napoleon Hill that he could achieve greater results than he had, Hill thought he was crazy. Andrew Carnegie, at the time, was the wealthiest man in the world. Napoleon Hill was just a broke journalist. Carnegie commissioned him to go out and study for 20 years. He said, "You won't receive any money from me, but I'll introduce you to the most powerful people in the world, and I want you to write the laws of achievement." Carnegie said to Hill, now keep in mind, Carnegie was the wealthiest man in the world at the time. Hill was in his early 20s, and this is what Carnegie said to him. "I want you to write this out. I want you to write it very clear. Andrew Carnegie, I'm not only going to match your achievements, I'm going to surpass them. I'm going to challenge you at the post, and I'm going to pass you at the grandstand." And Hill looked at Carnegie. He said, "Now, Mr. Carnegie, you know that's crazy. You know darn well I can't do that." And Carnegie said, "Yes, Napoleon, I know you can't, unless and until you believe it." And he said, "And when you believe it, then you'll do it." And he got Hill to commit to repeating that to himself, looking in the mirror every day for 30 days. Now, Hill thought he was crazy when he first started to do it. He said by the end of 30 days, he knew he would do it. And of course, he has. Where Carnegie only made about 30 or 40 millionaires, Napoleon Hill's made thousands of millionaires. We've got to begin to think of what we're capable of doing. You've got to stretch your mind. You've got to really begin to think. Mary?
Well, I'm inspired by that. Every one of us has this thing that we travel with, and it is our thinking. So what is your constant companion? What is the answer to this question? Who am I? I am your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I'll push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm completely at your command. Half the things you do, you might just as well turn over to me, and I'll be able to do them quickly and correctly. I'm easily managed, but you must be firm with me. Show me exactly what you want, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great men and women, but alas, I have made failures of all those who are failures as well. Those who are great, I've made great. Those who are failures, I've made failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with all the precision of the finest machine you know and the intelligence of the smartest person you've ever met. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I'll place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy every dream you have. Who am I? I'm your thinking. So in this lesson, we've recognized that the power of our thinking is that what we can do is tap into these infinite gifts we have, and what was unreasonable at one time becomes perfectly reasonable to us right now. One more quote from Alice in Wonderland. There's a moment where the queen says to Alice something, and Alice says, "Oh, one can't believe that. One simply can't believe impossible things." And the queen looks at her and says, "Well, I just say you have not had much practice. Why, when I was your age, I used to practice believing 5 impossible things before breakfast." Have fun with your reason.
The gift of reason, correctly applied, is what will enable you to begin seeing, really seeing, the amazing opportunities all around you, and to begin seizing those opportunities so that you can create the extraordinary life you dream of. In this session, Bob and Mary made the critical distinction between reason and right reason and shared proven strategies for stretching and strengthening your remarkable reasoning powers. Now let's turn to the next session where you'll discover the 6th and final gift.